Pray with me. Grace and peace to you from our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading today has had various descriptive titles associated with it, such as the woman at the well, or as living water, living faith, or even as the more obtuse narrative named the road less traveled, among others. We will focus on the living water, living faith narrative. How does someone come to faith? Not simply faith in the sense of intellectual or cognitive assent to doctrinal formulations like Jesus is the Son of God, but faith more in its biblical sense of trust, a living and active trust that makes it possible to take significant risks. I ask this question because I think today's lengthy reading from John offers a vivid portrait of one such person coming to this kind of vibrant, trusting, and risk-taking faith decision. In order to highlight the possibility of not just lifting up, but inviting such faith, I'll offer a few reflections on John's gospel offered today. In our reflections of this reading, we should notice three things that are essential in cultivating faith. First, it is the relative vulnerability and openness of the characters. Jesus asks for a drink and so shows his need. I know, give me a drink doesn't sound like a request, but the woman treats it as such, so I will also. Circumstantially, asking someone for anything can expose a certain vulnerability, as we typically don't like to show our need. In return, and perhaps in response to this demonstration of vulnerability, the unnamed Samaritan woman either simply grants his request nor ignores it, but shares what we should assume to be her surprise and discomfort. That, in turn, invites a deeper conversation about life and faith that may never have happened absent this initial note of vulnerability. Second, Jesus doesn't talk to her. He sees her. Jesus' words describing her marital history and present circumstances are not a condemnation for past or present sins, but rather recognition that she has lived a tragic life and difficult life. It is important to note here that neither John as narrator nor Jesus as the central character mentions sin or invites repentance. Abandoned 5 times, now dependent on someone who will not marry her, she is in desperate straits. Yet rather than ignore, critique, or pity her, Jesus recognizes and names her challenges, and so sees and values her. In so doing, he conveys to her that she exists for him. She is not invisible. She has worth and value, and all this may have been surprisingly new to her. In light of Jesus seeing and valuing her as a person, rather than simply as means to an end or embarrassment to be ignored, she is emboldened to risk asking the central question that has divided Jews and Samaritans for centuries. Where is the proper place to worship? Third, in response to her question, Jesus issues an unexpected and surprising invitation. Jesus' invitation is to imagine that even our most cherished practices matter little if they do not facilitate a relationship with the living God. He invites her to recognize that he is the very Messiah and the God, Son of God she seeks, who is speaking to her while affirming her worth and value. Jesus invites her to leave behind her burdens and share with others the joy she has encountered in their meeting. These invitations are unexpected, since they come from a man to a woman, a Jew to a Samaritan, and a rabbi of relative power and authority to someone who had neither. They are also astonishing because each invitation also involves challenge. The challenge of getting over one's piety as an excuse for keeping a distance from God. The challenge of accepting the new identity Jesus offered. And the challenge of imagining that God could and would use her to share the good news. Invitations aren't devoid of challenges. And challenges can themselves be empowering when offered out of regard, acceptance, and affirmation. In response to Jesus' challenge, the woman leaves her jar behind, goes out to her neighbors to tell what Jesus has shown her, and brings them to him. Every element of that is risky, yet she is, in almost every way, a completely different person and now unable to take risks. Or perhaps she is simply the person God created her to be, but she had difficulty embracing that person within her because of the tragedy she had experienced and is only now discovering who God created her to be that gives her the capacity for risking herself. The Gospels, I think, are often like that, creating something new that is really what God hoped and intended for all along. And these precious gifts of identity and personal regard is always empowering. A willingness to be vulnerable, truly seeking each other, offering invitations that take seriously the gifts, the worth, and the potential of another. All of this essentially leads to greater faith, love, and action. This is the essence of this story and of the lesson the woman of the well, living water, living faith, can teach us. And potentially the lessons we can share in our community to whom we can also reach out to with the good news. Perhaps, just perhaps, this whole sermon can be an act of vulnerability, sight, an invitation for all of us. I am so grateful for what you, the congregation of St. James, can and does selflessly offer our fellow members, visitors, and community week in and week out. I know it isn't easy, but I also know it matters. Thank you. Thank God for you. But ultimately, thanks be to God. Amen.